Hi, everybody. It's Joanna. I hope you had a really great and productive work chunk. Before we move into the next piece, there are a couple of things I want to address. We've gotten some great, great questions. Darcy got just some great stuff during the break, and I wanted to address a couple of pieces. So the first is, some of you are feeling a little like, oh my gosh, I don't want to do, you know, I don't want my referral opportunity to be an event right now. You know, I have so much going on. I'm so excited to do this, but it's just like I can't put together an open house right now. And so just a reminder, this is a reusable process. The campaign that you work on right now does not have to be for an open house kind of event. It can absolutely be into private enrollment conversations with you or get-to-know-you conversations. So don't, if you are sensing wanting to go into perfectionism mode, like it needs to be this and it needs, you know, and that's going to make you put things off or not do things now or not just get them done, I really just want to remind you that it doesn't have to be perfect. You get to do this more than once. And really, it's just about connecting into what's right for you right now. And I have certainly done many referral campaigns in the past myself, which have been just into a conversation with me. And that is great to do that. Another question that came up was about when, as you're writing your emails to the people, to your referrers, about subject headings in the actual email. So what do you put in the subject line? And what I often really like to do, if I'm sending an email, especially people get a lot of newsletters from me or group emails, that sort of thing. And if I'm sending an email that I really want people to pay particular attention to, I really want them to know this isn't, you know, a group email. This is coming from me directly to you. What I'll often do is in the subject heading, I'll put in brackets the word private so they know it's private for them. And then you can put whatever you want. You know, for something like this referral invite, you can just, you want it to be intimate. Again, so people know it's personalized. It could just be thinking of you, dot, dot, dot. Or this made me think of you. Or I wanted to let you know about this, dot, 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 right? But put the, if you are concerned that people are just going to think it's like another email, if you have a business where a lot of emails go out, just put in brackets private. People will get it. And make the subject heading intimate. Okay, wonderful. So I want to have a little bit of space for just a couple of, you know, I think these, the questions that everyone is asking, they're just so helpful for everybody on the line and everybody in the experience today. So I want to just make space for any questions that may have come up as you were doing your work over this last work chunk. I did also hear from Darcy that a lot of you have asked her to look at some of your copy. Just know that there's a lot of you. So she is looking, and you know, give her some time to get back to you. But it's star 2 to raise your hand, and I see there's some questions. Rebecca.
Hey, can you hear me okay?
I can.
Okay, great. So I was just going over some of the foundational pieces, and I'm definitely excited longer term to do like a virtual teleclass or even like my own version of Wendy's dinner party tour. Mm-hmm. And for right now, I'm really just focused on the offer. What I'm offering is more like, hey, I have 2 open spots, or, hey, I have some time open for conversations.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering, when I'm just speaking about open spots in my practice, is that's enough for the referrer to be excited that I only have two spots left and they want to get their friends in, or if I need to do something more exciting?
No. So it's a great question, and I think it's enough. And then what I think you want to just really focus on in the invitation, Rebecca, is in the value of that enrollment conversation with you. That's part of the excitement here.
Okay.
It's the bigger experience with you, obviously, but what are their friends going to get out of this great complimentary conversation with you? You know, what is it that's so special about that? That's part of the excitement. Does that make sense?
Yes. And I have some notes about that already, so I can just implement them.
Good.
Yay.
Okay.
And then when it's like, when that's the focus, how can I engage the referrer and bring them into the mix?
Mm-hmm.
Is it just more about like them having the discernment to know who's a match, or?
Yeah, I think when the invitation or the opportunity is straight into a conversation with you, it's a little harder to get the referrer into the mix.
Okay.
So I wouldn't worry about that so much. But that does remind me, there's a piece that I had wanted to share with everyone earlier that's vaguely related to this.
Okay.
You know, when you're telling people how to make the best referral, or what's the best way to make a referral, if it's into a conversation with you as opposed to something that the prospect just needs to RSVP for, what I highly, highly recommend, if you feel you can do it, is to ask your referrer to let the person that they're thinking of that would be a great match for you, you know, to talk to them about you. And then as a follow-up to that, to send an email to both you and the prospect introducing you over email.
Oh.
And this is a way for, you know, to get the referrer involved. And the reason why I recommend this is because it's the follow-up piece, right? It's like so often we make referrals, but we leave the entrepreneur out of it. And then what happens is, like, the prospect, you know, may think it's a cool idea or whatever. The referrer forgets to follow up with them. And we don't even know that the referral has been made. But if you can ask your referrer to CC, you know, and I have some templates in there that I've sent to you guys on then how to respond to that. But it makes for a much more powerful referral and one that you can then take control of and respond to. So I would really recommend that for you, Rebecca, okay?
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Great question. Okay. I've taken someone off mute. 8561. Those are the last numbers. 856.
Joanna?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, it's Erica.
Hi, Erica.
Erica Peskin.
How are you?
Hi.
How can I help you?
Good. I have a quick question for you. So earlier today you were talking about the opportunities, and most of them were either free or low cost.
Mm-hmm.
Would you change anything around if you're asking for referrals for a, you know, actual program? Would you pay?
Well, I would still create a powerful referral opportunity in advance of the program. That's either an enrollment conversation that would be complimentary, or some kind of teleclass or open house that is, you know, 60 minutes, 90 minutes, whatever it is, that would be free or low cost.
Okay.
So the referral opportunity, which is different than the offering itself, right, that people ultimately pay for, the referral opportunity I do recommend to be no or low cost.
Okay. Is there a particular reason?
Yeah. So as I said earlier, the referral opportunity, it's not the class itself, right? But it's the preview mm-hmm. to the class. That's a marketing mm-hmm. avenue. And we want to make marketing avenues pretty easy breezy for people to be mm-hmm. able to step into so that they can meet you, connect with your content, with who you are, and then you can activate them and poise them to be stepping into your offerings. But we need an easy way for them to be able to connect with you first.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
You're welcome. Great question. Okay. Let's take another couple of questions here. Emmeline. Are you there, Emmeline?
Joanna.
Hi.
Hi. So one thing that I've run across when I've asked people for referrals is just so people know, I'm a life coach. And I have run into people saying, well, that person, I don't know if she's screwed up enough, or, you know, like they start, like, well, they have all these meanings attached to what it means to refer someone to a life coach. So
yeah.
I guess there are two issues. One is that they are pre-qualifying people for me in a way that isn't, you know, accurate or good. And then the second way is that people are sometimes reluctant to suggest to people, because it's sort of like, oh, I think you're screwed up. I think you need help. You know, so, yeah.
Yeah, great question. So this really comes back to what we were talking about earlier in terms of educating your community. Mm-hmm. So both in the specific of the invitation that you send out in the referral campaign, and then we're going to talk in the next module about creating just the overall referral environment, you want to educate people on who that ideal client is. And you're not obviously going to you know, use words like, you know, messed up or this or that. You want to activate gap, but you want to do mm-hmm. it in a way where it's not like you have to have the deepest, darkest issues
yeah.
to work with mm-hmm. you. And when you describe to your referrer who your ideal client is, you really want that to come out. So, you know, I work with women that struggle to move forward in their businesses, but not only women that struggle to move forward in their businesses, women that are doing really well and just want to get to the next level. When I describe my ideal client to a referrer, I don't make for that woman, that ideal client, out to be this like, oh my gosh, and she doesn't have it together, you know, whatever it is. I say she's soul-centered, she's savvy, she's doing work that really matters in the world, but she has had some trouble getting herself out there in the ways that she wants. So what are you seeing just in that modeling and that languaging that I'm sharing with you, Emmeline, that's helpful for you?
What I'm seeing is how do I put it? It's the I feel the soul in the description. Like I feel there's a real sense of deep connection to this woman and her value
mm-hmm.
in the description. I mean, the gap is there too, but yeah.
Yes, exactly. So for when you describe your ideal client to your referrer, you're going to get at the heart of that soul. You know, this is someone who in their heart is so playful and maybe has a full life. Maybe they've been really successful in their career, but they have a longing to bring more fun into their life,
mm-hmm.
right? Because I know your work, Emmeline, but you get the picture there. Yeah?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Great, great question. Okay, let me take the next one. Melissa.
Hi.
Are you there?
Thank you.
Hi.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Can you hear me? Okay, great. So the offering or the opportunity that I'm creating is in its sort of teleclass format, mostly because, as you know, I just moved to Brooklyn a week ago, so I love the idea of in person, and I'm still meeting people, which also could be a great way to get out there. So I'm creating something that will be easily transferable into an in-person gathering. Mm-hmm. But so, as you know, one of the pieces of what I do is astrology, and I've created this really awesome signature one-on-one program called the Soul Mapping Journey, which is what I'm really focusing on filling right now. And I struggle with, like, in the past, I've done sort of like astrology parties where, like, people get little tidbits of, like, an astrology reading with me and whatever, but it didn't really meet the deep soulful level of what I'm really creating, and I think that it just sort of made it, like, woo-woo frou-frou entertainment, and that didn't really mm-hmm. work. So so now I'm wanting to create something that's more, you know, like connecting them, like creating that space to really have them getting clear on what that gap is between where they are and their vision, and that's what I do in my enrollment conversations. And I'm still thinking that it could be cool to create an opportunity to demonstrate how powerful I am as an astrologer. So I have the idea of maybe doing like a, you know, the first, like, you know, like within the first few people who sign up for this telejam, that I will like choose someone or pick, you know, someone to receive like a reading from me on the call, or something like that. And I guess my biggest concern is, one, creating a safe space, because I go really deep with my work, and I can't really, I mean, even if it's only like a 10-minute reading, there's still so much depth that I bring that I really want to, you know, highlight it in a way that it's like someone gets what they could be stepping into, and that it's, you know, courageous and vulnerable for me to do this with them on a call. And yet I know that some people are like, yeah, I'll totally do it. So there's that. And also just, you know, I guess there's just, I'm just kind of wanting to think around how I could create this powerfully that could demonstrate what I do without, like, giving away my services for free. I don't know.
Yeah, like, so there's a couple of pieces in here that are really great. So number one, I'm just so glad that you're going in this direction, because I can see how just like giving people little samples of their chart could turn into just this like, I don't know, I see it at like a bachelorette party kind of thing.
Yeah.
But it doesn't.
And then I'm stuck in a back room. Yeah, right. Like stuck in a back room giving one-on-ones, and then there's not even really time to like create a powerful invitation for them to
exactly.
go deeper. Yeah, exactly.
So you, yes. So you really want to keep everyone moving together in this experience. And you want to think about when you work with this soul mapping process, with the one-on-one, what is your process with your client? So just, you know, let's get into this just for a little bit, Melissa, but what's the very first thing that you do with your clients when you start working with them?
So it's a two-part process. So like it starts out with a 2-hour session in which I take them on sort of a journey to really connect with the essence of who they are. So they're getting total clarity on like what lights them up. And
what's the
and then sort
part
of going
of that?
From there.
Tell
the
me the first part of that process that helps them connect with their essence. What is that?
Hmm.
If you could
so, I mean, I have my, I, yeah, I mean, so, like, we do, so, I mean, guess we start out, like, I have them fill out, like, a discovery sort of form, and, you know, we kind of walk through that together a little bit to just start creating our relationship together. But then I guess the first thing, the most powerful piece of that process is a visualization, where they're really connecting with, like, their wise self or higher power, or however you want to define that, to really connect with, like, just the truth of who they are.
Yeah.
So, like, I one thing that I definitely was seeing, including in this, is a sort of what I'd call, like, a wise woman activation.
Yes.
Like, connecting them with their inner wise woman to help them really get clear on what is the longing that brings them to this call or this event, so that we're really clarifying, like, you know, what the pain point is, what the desire is, what the needs are. And it's a cool, like, soulful way of sort of giving them, like, a piece of just that intuitive guidance part of what I do.
Yeah, exactly. So this is so great, and this is great for just everyone on the line to hear. So definitely you want to include something like that. But let me – I just want to kind of pull this out for you a little bit more. Before you even go into that wise woman activation – what I want you to do, Melissa, is I want you to talk about and really get people connected to what happens to them when they're not connected to their wise woman. That's part of GAP, right? What happens when you're not connected to your wise woman? What are the repercussions in your life? What does it feel like? What does that cause?
Yeah.
And then from there, I want you, and this is before you even do that visualization, right? What is possible for you when you're fully connected in with your wise woman and with your essence? And have people ask themselves that question, what would be possible for me if I were to be fully connected in? What would be different in my life? And then from there, you tell them, and, you know, this is a process that I really take my clients through. I want to give you the first piece of this process, which is to share with you a part of the visualization that I share with them. And you give that them that experiential piece. Okay, does that make sense? Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, no, go. You can go ahead.
Okay, and then in terms of the demo, I like the idea of a demo. I would do just one. If your work really goes deep, I would not try to fit a bunch in. I would do one and have it go deep, and then I would have a testimony, you know, some clients on the line that could give testimonials just about what your work has done for them and how deep it has gone to really bolster that up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's really juicy. Yeah, and I think that I'm like capable of creating it in a way that whoever gets chosen, like, that I set it up with them so they really get what's going to be created for them, and, you know, to just create that safe space and whatever in order to do it powerfully and whatnot. So great. So can I just read back what I wrote so I make sure I got it? So it's just starting out with really, like, getting clear on, like, what happens when they're not connected with their inner wise woman or with just the call of their soul. What's then go into what's fully possible when they are connected, and then create this invitation for them to respond for themselves, you know, to write down whatever what they see would be possible if they were fully connected. And then to create the opportunity for them to go through that first piece of connecting with them.
And you just want to really spend time on each piece, right? So, for example, that first one, like, what's happening in your life now because you're not fully connected in with your wise woman?
Yeah.
Right? So really, like, go there with them.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Beautiful.
Juicy. I'm so excited.
Good.
Thanks.
Okay. You're welcome. I'm going to take one or two more questions. 0577.
Hi, this is Rachel.
Hi, Rachel.
Hi. I have a question. I am a yoga teacher and a shiatsu therapist and a wellness coach. And the wellness coach piece is recent. I just finished my training and have begun incorporating that into my client work. I work almost exclusively privately, and mostly in Manhattan. And so I am in this place where I'm doing exactly what you were describing, like taking my business to a new level, into a new echelon of work because up until now, what I've done is really just respond to my clients when I get referrals or when people call me and they ask. I do house calls. I go one-on-one. Occasionally, they come to my space in Brooklyn and Park Slope. And I really love doing house calls in Manhattan. Like, it's a very personalized way of working with people. And so I'm in creating this offering. My idea is, in what I've written so far, is to create a call, a one-on-one call, or a one-on-one visit, which maybe is too big for this initial thing. But I think that I could do a 30-minute house call where it's a conversation rather than, like, let me give you a yoga private or let me give you, shiatsu work. But a 30-minute one-on-one conversation exploration, maybe with a little sampling of some yoga or, you know, whatever it is that they're looking to explore and work on, a sampling of some coaching. And I guess I'm just looking for your ideas on that. Because I'm trying to pull all these different pieces that I do together. And a lot of what I do happens in the moment. People call me, and when I've been working with them for a long period of time, they'll book me and I'll go. And generally when I walk in the door, they're like, actually, I could really use 30 minutes of yoga and 30 minutes of shiatsu, or we'll start working together and I'll see that they're really pushing themselves really hard, but they're really tired. Mm-hmm. And I may slow them down and I may end up actually doing more restorative stuff. You know, like, I really tailor it in the moment to where they are and what's going on with them.
Yeah. So that's, I'm so glad you're bringing this up. And it really speaks to why the opportunity should not be a sample session if it's one-on-one, right? Because it's like you don't know. So what you really want the sample, what you really want the session to be, the opportunity is a really valuable conversation with the prospect around what's not working for them, right? Just to really get them connected in deeply with where, you know, like where things just are not right for them right now. And then to get them connected in deeply and emotionally with a vision of what they really want for themselves. You know, what would it feel like to walk through a day where they don't have pain in their body or, you know, whatever it is. And then from there, for you to share with them, these are the different ways that I sense I could help, right? And you would tell them, you would describe a little bit about the yoga or the shiatsu or, you know, whatever it is, or different pieces within that. So that's what I would really recommend for you. And I'd say if it's a question between over the phone and the home visit, I can just share that. You know, I've worked with many, many practitioner body workers and supported them in having these enrollment conversations over the phone. You do not need to be in person for it. If intuitively feel like you really want to, you know, absolutely do it. But it is time consuming to do, and I would recommend trying it on the phone.
All right. Great.
Okay.
That was where I was landing to, is more of an over the phone. Okay, great. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Okay, I'm going to take one more for now. Wendy.
Thank you. This is a more practical question. Mm-hmm. So when I'm doing a free event, Evening with Wendy, and people have signed up, what do I do to help make sure, or how do I help the host make sure that they come? And part of it is a practical thing in terms of I'm providing the food. So we'll need to know that too.
Yep. Yeah, I would do, it's a really great question, I would do a couple of things. So number one, no matter what kind of event you ever host, whether it's yourself or teleclass or whatever it is, you always want to send a reminder email. So just like I said to everybody, you know, participating in Become a Referral Magnet, you all should have gotten a reminder from me yesterday with all of that. And so what I would say is, number one, and you can provide the text for your host,
mm-hmm.
but ask her to send a reminder, at least one reminder email,
mm-hmm.
For sure at least the day before. And then the other thing that I have done in this type of situation is asked the host if I can send a personal email to everybody that's RSVP'd. And so it comes directly from me, and it would just be about how excited I am to connect with them and, you know, just a little bit of a preview of what they're going to get and just how wonderful it's going to be and, you know, how each spot is just, you know, every person that's coming is just meant to be there, and you really just can't wait to meet them. Let them begin to hear your voice before they even get to the event. That will magnetize them mm-hmm. even more.
Mm-hmm. And so you wouldn't do anything about, you know, it just totally goes with a different energy. Like, I would never word it like this, but we need to know if you're going to be there because we're going to feed you.
Yeah, I would let, no, I would. I would let the host take care of that in mm-hmm. her reminder. And it doesn't have to be an off-putting energy. You know, the host can say, I'm so excited to have you all in my home or, you know, whatever she is. Wendy and I have prepared such an amazing evening for you. You're going to love it. It's going to be so soulful. I want to remind you to come. And also, you know, if you're not able to come, I need to know today, because we are preparing just a beautiful, delicious, healthy meal for you, and it's important that we know how many to prepare for.
Nice.
So just really in that same energy of I'm so excited, you're so welcoming, you know, just just create that environment, even yeah. around the detail of the food.
Yeah, it's great. Thank you. Those are great words.
Yeah, you're welcome. Okay, wonderful. I promise you we'll have time for more Q&A as we move on. But I still have so much information that I want to give to all of you, so I want to continue. As I said, in your packet of templates, you have two templates there of how to, once you get the prospect, how to communicate with them, how to follow up with them. So be sure that you take a look at that. It's pretty self-explanatory. What I want, before we move into the next module, we're going to be changing it up a little bit and moving away a little bit from the campaign piece. So everything that we will be looking at will still apply 100% to the referral campaign. But before we move on from there, I want to just give you a minute to jot down what is it that you've learned so far today. You know, we've been through so much already and you've done a lot of work, and I just want you to take a moment to pause and what is it that you're taking away so far from our time together? You know, what are some of the most important pieces that have really been helpful for you, that have really touched you? What are some openings that have happened for you, revelations? Just take a moment and take a look at that for yourself. And then from there, I want to move us into the next module, which is really about how to create a strong referral environment in your business in general. So we've already looked today at specifically creating a referral opportunity and a campaign, which is a very, very powerful tool to be using. And in order to make that tool even more powerful, as well as to be able to generate just spontaneous referrals, without invitations. Within your business as a whole, you want to create what I call a strong referral environment. So part one to this module, I'm calling it the Disney effect. And so let me tell you what I mean by that. I'm going to tell you guys a couple of stories. So last Thanksgiving, not this year, but the year before, my in-laws wanted to take the entire family on a trip for Thanksgiving, and they chose to very generously take us all on a Disney cruise to the Caribbean. And we knew about this in advance. You have to plan these things far in advance. So we knew about this almost a year in advance, that this is what the family trip was going to be for the year. And while, when I first heard about the trip, while of course I was incredibly grateful that my in-laws were going to take me and my family, you know, on a cruise and on a trip and just such a beautiful thing, at the same time, I felt a lot of reluctance about going on the trip. You know, I just, even though I love Disney, you know, I had some feelings about Disney and what it meant, and did I want to expose Penina to, you know, I was just sort of going on in my mind. Because of it, I didn't really tell too many people that this is what we were doing, that I was going to be going on this Disney cruise for my Thanksgiving break. So we get to the cruise, and it was an amazing experience. It just exceeded my expectations by so much. Disney's customer care was amazing. The ways that they tended to us were just so nurturing. They knew their customers, their ideal clients, so well. I mean, they understood what families want and need on a family vacation. It was amazing. You know, down to little details like when we would go to dinner, they would just automatically know to bring the meals out for the little kids first. Because by 6 p.m., the little kids are going to be hungry. They don't want to wait for the adults to get the drinks and get the appetizers or whatever it is. They knew that if a kid ordered something with ketchup, you know, the waiters would come and they would pour the ketchup on the kid's plate, but they would pour it in the shape of, you know, Mickey Mouse with the Mickey Mouse ears. And it just delighted the kids. They knew to have extra towels in places. They knew that parents want time away from their kids on vacation sometimes too, and so they had a whole adult area and then activities that the kids could do. They understood that when families go on vacation, there's so much stress. Like if you take just a regular beach vacation with your, you know, with little kids and all of the details and, you know, keeping things organized, they kept everything organized for us so we could just enjoy our time with our family and enjoy the vacation. And anyway, the service and the experience on this cruise were just so, I just was so impressed by it that literally I went from before the cruise of not wanting to even really tell people that I was going on this to as soon as I got home from this vacation, I became one of their best referral sources. Anybody that I spoke to that had a family within, you know, like 2 or 3 months of that vacation, I made sure to tell them that they really should check out a Disney cruise for their next family vacation. I mean, they had converted me. And the reason why I'm sharing the story, I'm sure it's pretty obvious, like it's such a great referral story, right? Because there wasn't a referral campaign. They didn't ask me to let anyone know. But because of the experience and the customer care that I received, I just, and because as a human being I naturally want to serve and I want others to have great experiences, I became a referrer for them. And not only that, but even though we haven't, you know, yet booked another cruise through them, certainly the next time I think of going on a big vacation, particularly if we're thinking about a cruise, I'm going to refer myself. Right, and as I was sharing with someone earlier, the best referral is a continuing client who refers themselves back in. So that's one story I want to share with you. And then I've got so many, but I'll just share another quick one that just happened yesterday. So yesterday I was at the supermarket. I was at Whole Foods, and I was waiting online at the deli counter. I wanted to order some prepared foods, and I was getting really frustrated. The line was really, really long, and all of these things were happening, and they couldn't get to me, and it took about 20 minutes for them to get to me and get my order. And when the woman was, you know, giving me what I had ordered, she said, "I'm comping this to you. I know that it was a really long wait, and, you know, I just you won't pay for this when you go to the checkout. Thank you for your patience." And I have to say, just that little offer of customer service, which was no big deal to Whole Foods, right, it meant a lot to me, and it was important just in terms of if I'm ever going to refer them or even come back there, right? So this is all sort of as an introduction for you each to be able to begin to look at your businesses as a whole to see where is it that you are doing a really good job in terms of creating an environment where people are going to want to really refer you, and then where are some places where you can begin to make some tweaks so that we already know that the service you're providing, whatever it is that you help your clients do, I'm positive that it is just incredible, but what about the environment around it? Now, I want us to look at this not so that tomorrow you go out and, you know, get overwhelmed and make 100 changes in your business right away. That's not what we're doing here. That's not going to be helpful for you or for anyone else. But it is important for you to be able to assess this so that you can pick and choose, you know, step by step. Maybe once a month it's a change that you make, a change that gets implemented, whatever it is. I'm going to take you through a process. And the other thing I just want to put out there is if you're on the line right now and you're thinking like, oh, but I'm just starting out, you know, I can't comp somebody for free, or I can't, you know, for every business, there is a level that makes sense for you. So it doesn't have to be something huge. It can just be a little flourish that doesn't really cost you time or energy, but something that you add to your service, something that you add to your offerings, something that's embedded in your client care that is going to make you more memorable to the people and individuals that come in contact with you, and then it'll help them share you with others. To give you just one more example of being memorable, because I think that's a big piece of this, is the dentist that I go to here in Charlotte. So the name of the dentist's practice is Solace Dentistry. And their whole kind of shtick is that you walk into this office and it's a place of solace. So people get so anxious about going to the dentist, right? They get scared of whatever pain they might endure, whatever it is. And at Solace Dentistry, you walk in, and just even the waiting room is like an oasis of just being grounded. They have on one of the walls in the waiting room just different inspirational, uplifting quotes by different people. Everything from the receptionists to the dental hygienists to the dentists, the way that they interact with you, it's just so welcoming and warm and putting you at ease. When you go into the actual rooms, you know, where you get treated, it's like they have brick wall exposure, right? It's just, it's memorable, right? So if I were to refer this dentist to other people, this is part of what I would talk about to them, right? It's like something to hang on to. Something to talk about. It's you're giving your community, your people, ways to communicate about you and just ways that they are reminded of you. So I want to take some time for each of you to just look at this, and I want to go through a couple of pieces. So number one, as I said, in order to create that strong referral environment, you want to be memorable. So what are you currently doing and what can you do to make your business more memorable? Could, if your energy is about fun and whimsical, you want it to be about that. If your energy is about soulful, then you want it to be something related to that. What can you do to make your business, your offerings, more memorable? Are you exceeding expectations? So again, on that cruise, bringing the dinner out for my daughter as soon as she ordered it because she was hungry from a day of swimming and doing everything she was doing, that totally exceeded my expectations. I didn't have a cranky kid at dinner that night. I want you to think about your systems, your operational systems in your business. Are you easy to communicate with? Do you have an easy scheduling system? Are you easy to pay? Do you follow up with people? What's going on with your operations and your systems that's really working, that you know is helping to create a strong referral environment? And what do you know, and it's just not about beating yourself up or shaming yourself, but what do you know is kind of going on with your operations right now that is detracting from making you a strong referral business and a strong referral environment? Another piece that you want to really take a look at is if you are at a place in your business where you have team members, how are they operating with your clients? Are they really communicating your message to your clients? Are they providing the kind of client care that will help create a strong referral environment? What's really working there? And then where do you know you can make some tweaks? part of all of this is, you know, to ask yourself, am I being thoughtful? Where are the places in my business? And again, this isn't about taking over responsibility or overworking or giving too much. So if you know that you have the tendency to do that, I want you to be really clear with yourself here. It's not about giving more than you need to. But again, it's about making some easy changes that are just easy breezy for you, but will make a difference for your clients, right? Where could you be more thoughtful in how you're communicating with your clients? Or do you give them gifts sometimes, or little perks, or special little notes just for them, or, you know, whatever it is for you? And then another piece of this is, do you make referrals yourself? This is really part of creating a strong referral environment. And it, you know, you can make referrals in different ways. It doesn't mean that you have to make referrals for your clients, but do you make referrals for your colleagues? Do you share community resources with your clients so that you're acting as a model of making referrals and the importance of that? When your community sees you making referrals and sharing valuable resources, then you're really teaching them and modeling them for them how to do that yourself. So I'd love for you to take a couple of moments right now and make some recommendations for yourself based on the questions that I've just asked you. Where are some places where you know you can make some changes? And again, what's appropriate for you and where you're at in your business and what you have the resource for. So take a little more time with that. And then I want you to take a look at all of the recommendations you just made for yourself and circle the top three that you know you can pretty easily implement right away. So again, we're not going to tackle all of these all at once, but what are three that could really make some impact for you in terms of your referral environment that you know you can implement right away? Like in the next couple of weeks. And so I'd love to hear some shares around this piece to generate some ideas around it. It's star 2 to raise your hand. So what are some of the Disney effect recommendations that are coming to you that you sense would be very powerful for you and your business? Rebecca.
Hey.
Hey.
Something came to mind that already happened,
mm-hmm.
where a math department head at a private school told a particular family whose daughter loved to sing that I sing about math, so they needed to call me.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
And I didn't even know she knew I sing about math, and it's something that doesn't cost me any extra time or energy at all.
Yeah. That's wonderful. Yeah, this is such a great example of being memorable, right? And really catering to your ideal client. And what I would say, Rebecca, is not in all of your marketing copy, but every now and again where it feels appropriate, I would add that in, you know, like something about the singing math tutor or maybe a testimonial about a song or just the value, you know, that you bring that whimsical piece in. I feel like that's something that would really appeal to your ideal client, that would really appeal to people that are going to refer you. So, you know, take a look to see where you can bring that out a little bit more, both in terms of when you do it in your offerings, but also in terms of your marketing.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. I love
it. Can I ask a question?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so when you were talking about are you easy to communicate with and do you have an easy scheduling system? Part of me was like, I'm in the phase of my business where I'm like deliberately trying to withdraw from being so accessible.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering what you might advise for someone who wants to be creating like a friendly, positive referral environment at the same time having stronger boundaries about how accessible they are.
Yeah, I'm so glad you're bringing it forward because in no way did I mean that you have to make yourself more available to prospects and clients in order to be more accessible. I think there's a difference there. And
can you clarify it for
me? Yes, I am going to right now.
Okay.
So making yourself accessible to clients means being clear with them about when you're available and when you're not, right? So you set that boundary, and then you follow through on that. You know, you're available when you say you're going to be available. When it comes to prospects, if you're not, you know, available in that moment, you know, it's just about the energy that you communicate to them or that your assistant communicates to them, right? So it's really about Rebecca so looking forward to be in touch with you. This is when she's available, right? And setting it up from there. But it's just really about the energy of the communication. And even
okay.
with your clients, it's not like, I really have to set this boundary because, right? It's like I'm so, when you do respond to their email, let's say one of the boundaries that you've put is that, you know, you're only responding to client emails 3 days a week. So when you do respond to them, maybe you just start the email with, I'm so glad to hear from you. I'm so happy that you reached out. This is such a great question.
Okay.
Right? It can be as simple as that, but it doesn't mean that you have to be available at all times. Is that helpful?
Yeah, it's like the regal queen model of like, mm-hmm. I'm giving you my focus and attention during my like open throne room available times, but it's not like a Zappos 24/7, like you can call us, you can email us, you can tweet us, like we're always here.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, you don't have the bandwidth for that because you don't have hundreds
right.
of people working for you. Right. Exactly. Great. Okay, let me take another share here. Rachel, what are some Disney Effect recommendations that you're seeing would be really helpful for you?
Well, one that really jumped to my mind is beginning to accept credit cards, the ease of payment. Up till now, it's been cash and check and very straightforward in that exchange. But I also know that I would like to begin offering packages and making it more easy for people to just commit and book a group of commit to a certain time period. I think that they benefit a lot more from doing that for themselves. And all benefit a lot more from having that preset in a lot of ways, which allows them to pay with a credit card would facilitate for them a lot better. I also know that just walking into clients, they're like, wait, I don't have $5 to make this the even amount that I owe you. And I'm like, no. So that it would eliminate that funny little, that kind of awkward exchange, or that they always have to have cash or a check on hand. I don't know entirely how to do that, but I do know that there are many options for doing that. So I'm going to research that. And then the other one I had was, and I do this a little bit, I follow up with clients after my private sessions with them, but I could do that on a more regular basis with a very personal short email or note to ask them specifically about something that, you know, we addressed in the day before, or to offer them a reference or a link or a product or, you know, something that they've expressed curiosity about that I may have the information to share with them on.
Yeah, those are two really beautiful recommendations, and absolutely with the, taking credit cards makes things so much easier and really more easeful for clients as well. So, and it sounds like you're really ready for that. And, you know, this isn't the topic of today's training, but I do also just want to share that I highly, highly recommend, instead of doing one-offs, like just selling one sessions, that you create full offerings that are packages, because the work does deepen and really is more valuable when someone can see you over a period of time. We look at that in your sacred business, but you're really going in the right direction there. So just really, it's better for you because you know that you have more regular business, but it truly is better for the people that you work with as well. It allows them to deepen the work and get so much more from it. And I love the idea of the follow-up emails. It's really great. As long as it's easy breezy for you and it doesn't feel taxing, really, really nice addition.
Yeah. Okay.
Beautiful. Take one more share. Ofra.
Hey, Joanna. Well, this is a share, and also I'm realizing one of those great referral stories, because one of the things that I've really been focused on the past few weeks is operations and systems, and right what you started off with, which is my database, and really starting to collect all the information that I have about people in a way that I can find who I'm looking for more easily and communicate with them better, so that I can create segmented lists. I'm not writing to people about local events who live in Finland, for example.
Yeah.
And in the process of trying to figure out how to do this, I did a ton of research. I'm working on a WordPress website, so I don't know if there are any other ladies out there who are using WordPress, but I found one WordPress plugin which is very affordable. It's called PawPress. It's essentially a WordPress CRM. And the reason that I decided to go with PawPress after months of looking into things is because a man by the name of Frank, who's actually the developer, kept writing me back. Every time I'd have a question, he'd answer it. He was always very willing to answer my questions, no matter how untechy or unknowledgeable they seemed. And he was always super, super friendly, and I've just had a great time working with that system. So that's one thing that I'm working on, and if any other women out there are looking for something like that, I can really super highly recommend it. It's called PawPress. It's only $45 for a pro license, and you get everything you really need.
Thank you for that resource. That's great, and I love the story because it really illustrates that follow-up piece that we were talking about before. He just kept on following up with you and converted you into a client. Really nice.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Thanks.
Well, you're welcome. These are so good. I'm going to just take one more. Hold on. Somehow I'm having some tech issues here. Hold on one second, guys. Okay. There we go. Last four numbers, 3772. What are some recommendations that you're making for yourself? Who is this?
For me?
Yeah,
this is Sarah.
Hi, Sarah.
It's Sarah. Hey. So for me, it's definitely my scheduling system and my schedule in general. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to share something that I do for my clients, current and past. I send them a book on their birthday.
Mm.
And it's such a small investment on my part, like $10 to $20, and they just love it. And, you know, something that I love that might help their business or love or whatever they're working on. So, yeah, it's just my own little Disney effect.
Yes.
And I'd like
it.
To grow it even more.
Yeah, that's really, really wonderful. We do that as well. Just send especially, you know, knowing your ideal client is really important, you know, so that way you know, do they want a book or do they want, you know, perfume or oils or, you know, what is it that they would really find valuable? And it's great to do it on a birthday or sometimes like halfway through a program or when somebody starts a new program with you. So thank you for bringing that forward. It's such a great suggestion. Great. Okay, so we still have part two of creating a strong referral environment to cover. But before we go there, we've already, the team and myself, have already gotten a couple of questions from many of you about how to take today's work further. And I want to just take a couple of minutes to share with you about the opportunity that I've been mentioning throughout the day. So we've done some really powerful work together today. And as I'm sure you know, we've really only begun to scratch the surface of what's possible when you're able to create sacred and intentional time for yourself and to receive training and coaching on the tasks that you want to accomplish. And just look at how much you were able to accomplish today on one task in just a few hours. And imagine how much we would be able to create together for you and for your business over the course of 24 weeks together. Imagine what might be possible for you and your level of visibility and success if you learned not only how to make more time to get things done, but you also received specific and personalized instruction from me and my team on how to take the next steps in your business, and then the next steps after that, and the next steps after that in order to bring in more clients or partners or audiences. And imagine what might be possible if you were to be handed weekly instruction and training and worksheets on the details of how to create your marketing strategies. And have those strategies be proven for creating more visibility for yourself and your message. Imagine what it would feel like to not have to constantly question if you're taking the right action, but instead knowing exactly what action to take. There is so much more that can be created, especially if you were to have guidance on your specific tasks and the step-by-step instruction on how to successfully complete your tasks, plus support and accountability to keep you on track. And I know that for myself, that has made all of the difference. And that has contributed greatly to my ability to grow my business way bigger than I ever imagined possible. And that's why we have the opportunity to take the energy of Referral Magnet and extend it over 24 weeks. And I'm going to teach you not only how to continue to generate powerful referrals and other prospects in your business, but how to create many more opportunities for visibility and expansion and abundance through soul-centered marketing foundations. Because here's what I want for you. to create a thriving business for yourself by presenting yourself to the world in your full value and with your full confidence, without selling your soul, and by being fully true to yourself and who you are. And so that brings us to my special opportunity for you. I'm excited to tell you a little bit more about your sacred business. And because Referral Magnet holds such a special place in my heart, I have a time-sensitive opportunity for you on it. Yay! So your sacred business is a transformative 24-week personalized training, implementing, and coaching business program that includes 12 training calls that take you step-by-step through the foundational marketing principles for soul-centered visionaries. And then you also receive 6 60-minute group coaching calls with me. And you guys have already seen we've done a lot of Q&A on our training today. I love to do Q&A, and I provide a lot of powerful Q&A time in this program for you to receive coaching from me on any aspect of your business and project. And I'm told time and time again that I have a unique ability to laser right in on my clients' exact needs to help them create the powerful next steps for them. So all of that's really powerful, but the program doesn't end there when it comes to support and when it comes to private and personalized support. So I've been around the block quite a few times, and I really coached and served a lot of women. And here's what I've come to learn. Soul-centered entrepreneurs get lost in a big coaching program. And as a soul-centered entrepreneur, I know that part of what you might be needing and craving in your business is to be tracked by a mentor who can guide you and to have personal time to coach out your obstacles and strategies. And that's why I am just overjoyed to share that in your sacred business, you get private one-on-one coaching calls. This is one of the few foundational business programs out there, and honestly, the only one at this price point that can claim this, that can offer private one-on-one calls for you. And I'm really, really proud about this. So both myself and my Trained by Me coaches are with you step by step throughout the program, and we hold your hand through the entire process as you learn on a very deep level and in a very profound way both the nitty-gritty, concrete action that you want to take, and then how to cultivate and leverage your brilliance and value in order to make your sacred work more visible in the world, in order to charge what you're worth, in order to speak to prospects so that they hear you, and in order to create soul-centered success in your business. And in this program and in all the work that I do, not only are those results, but the other results that you get is that through the process, you love yourself more deeply and fully and truly hold yourself and your work sacred. Now, I want to take just a couple of minutes to walk you through the tool chest of vital business building methods that you receive in the program. And I'll share these with you now. And if you're a visual person, you can also see them all laid out. I'm going to give you a very long URL. The URL is soulfulcoach.com/referralmagnetysd.php, soulfulcoach.com/referralmagnetysd.php. It's actually a special private page just for people in the Referral Magnet training because there's special goodies for you guys. So in module one of the program, we get crystal clear on your soul-centered vision and mission and on who your ideal client and target market is. these three pieces comprise your sacred message, and these are vital to any and all marketing avenues you choose to pursue. In Module 2, you learn how to develop your exact offerings, every single one of your offerings, what they include, and how much to charge, what their value is. You'll also develop your brilliance-based system, and that's the journey that you take your clients on to help them achieve results. So not only do you develop that system, but you learn how to communicate it with prospects and people that are interested in working with you. After that module, you have a fully focused outline of what your offerings are, what you want to put out into the world, and then how to describe them effectively to your ideal clients. And so then you move on to Module 3, where you craft your personal strategy for engaging your contacts and attracting clients into your offerings. You are going to learn how to engage the people who are most likely to buy from you. And then from there, we move to Module 4, where you learn the foundational principles to be able to have a productive and effective enrollment conversation. From there, you move on to Module 5, where we go deeply into befriending your marketing fears. We've gotten a taste of that today, but this is where we really explore how you can take risks in your business. In other words, how you can market yourself fully and authentically in order to really achieve everything that you want. And then from there, I lead you step by step through my secret formula for creating presentations that will just knock the socks off your audiences. And we've just touched the surface on that today, but there's a whole art to creating really effective presentations for folks. In Module 7, you learn the foundational principles and strategies for expanding your visibility and expanding your community, including soul-centered networking, joint venture partnerships, and so many other strategies. And then in Module 8, we'll safely and sacredly step into that world of online marketing and demystify some of the tools and the strategies out there so that you can navigate marketing technology and really use it to your advantage. And then finally, in the last module, we look at advanced marketing techniques for your continued success. So as you can see in the Your Sacred Business program, you receive all of the marketing basics needed to take your business or your business idea to the next level. And again, I just want to share that special web page with you. It has a very time-sensitive discount on the program. It's got a 30% off discount, and it's soulfulcoach.com/referralmagnetysb.php. And the reason I'm giving this 30% off discount, just such a big discount on this already very reasonably priced program, is because I really want for you to move forward and to succeed. I really want it for you, and it would be my pleasure, just my absolute pleasure, to take what we've done today already and to continue to support you in standing up for yourself and the important work that you are meant to do in the world. Now, the special lasts for 48 hours only, so you need to take advantage of it by midnight this Wednesday, March 12th. And there's also a really special bonus as part of this program. It's a full-day virtual enrollment conversation training. So enrollment conversations, and we've begun to touch on some of those. There's been a bunch of questions about them today. They're often really confusing and difficult, and it's one of the places, one of really the biggest places where entrepreneurs lose potential business and income. Because if you're not equipped with tools for an effective enrollment conversation, you have less confidence. You find yourself charging less. And you stress out before each prospect connection, and ultimately you make less money. So mastering the enrollment conversation is really crucial to building a strong foundation for your business. and for increasing your income. And we'll have an entire virtual day together to learn the anatomy of a successful enrollment conversation. So, as I mentioned, the discount is good until Wednesday night. And what I'm asking is that you submit an application form instead of just registering for the program. And I'm doing that because the program is so highly personalized and designed to suit your needs that I really feel it's important that we have a conversation about it and really get clear on what you want for yourself and how the program can help you and if it's really a good fit for you before you step in. I'm not interested in bringing in masses of people into this program. And in fact, we're pretty much full. We've got just a couple spots. But what I'm really interested in is bringing the right women into this program, women that can really benefit and move forward with it. So me and your Sacred Business team want to get to know you and help you make an informed decision about it. So check it out. And I'll also be sending a couple of reminder emails about this opportunity over the next 2 days. Okay, beautiful. So if you've got any questions on your sacred business, we're going to have time before we close for any last questions. But for now, I want to move us into part two of module four, which is, you know, we're still looking at creating a strong referral environment. And this part is about educating your community and educating yourself. So I want us to look closely at both of these pieces because both educating your community as well as educating yourself on what your community wants and needs are really important to being able to create a strong referral environment. So first let's look at educating others. And this has come up already a lot today throughout our day together. You want to let people know that you're referral based. That's number one. So I want you to begin to think about all of your marketing materials. And again, as we said earlier, oftentimes people don't know that you're referral based or they don't think to make referrals. So we want to let them know, and we can do that through the referral campaign, but we can also do it in some other more subtle ways, but also very powerful ways. So I want you to look at your marketing materials, and I want you to see if you're letting people know that you're referral-based in your marketing materials. So, for example, on your email signature, that's a great place, and I have it on my email signature. I say that my business is a soul-centered, referral-based business. Just putting that idea into anyone that I email with, I'm putting that idea into their mind. I'm open to referrals, right? If you use a welcome packet when new clients sign on and you have a lot of different protocols and pieces around your business, can you include a short paragraph about being referral-based and thanking people in advance for their referrals? Do you mention this on your business cards? So if you go to a lot of networking events or you're giving your business cards out a lot, you want to have it on your business cards. Is it on your website? What other marketing materials do you have out there, and how can you educate your community, how can you educate people coming in contact with your marketing that you are referral-based? So the next piece you want to look at is, have you educated your community, and this includes clients, and people on your mailing list and colleagues, have you educated them around your offerings? So in other words, you may have a client that's in a private program with you, and they know that offering really well, but maybe you never even mentioned to them that you have a group program because maybe that group program isn't appropriate for them. But are they educated about that group program so that they can refer others to it when, you know, again, this is outside of a referral campaign, so that when they come across folks, they can refer, or vice versa. Have you been working with someone in a group setting, and is it that you've never even mentioned that you work privately with others, or maybe colleagues know you for a certain program that you run, but they don't know your other offerings? So are you educating your community about all of your offerings? And then to go along with that, educating them about who you work best with. There's another take on this, but let's say you've been running a certain program for a certain amount of years, and that program has really evolved. And there's a lot of new content in that program, or there's new features or components to that program. Do folks that took that program 2 and 3 years ago know that it's updated? Do they know that there's new components to it? How can you educate people so that they are really current with all of your offerings? Do you let people know when you still have openings available, either in your private practice or you have X amount of products left or whatever it is? Have you educated around your rates, right? So I mentioned this earlier, but do you have some clients that you've had for a long time and maybe they're still on some older rates? I know this can happen a lot. And then they're just referring you at those old rates. Do you let people know when you've raised your prices so they can refer accurately? Another way to help educate your community is during the enrollment conversation itself. So once someone signs on and says, yes, I'm taking this package, I want to work with you, you can at a certain point in the conversation say, you're going to be so thrilled about our work together that you're going to want to tell others about it, right? It's just planting a little seed. It actually does two things. Number one, it just plants a little seed, right? They're going to want to tell other people about it, so you've already sort of planted that in their mind, but it also really confirms their decision to work with you, right? You're just confirming what a great decision that was. In other words, you really want to be consistently educating your clients and your community about what's new in your business, what's happening in your business. You want to, as much as you can and as much as appropriate, bring folks behind the veils of your business so that they know more about it, they understand it, they understand who it's for, they know when you have openings, they know what's going on. So that's the first part of educating others, is just all of these different ways that you can really let people know what's going on. The next piece is to have referral tools and resources that you can easily share with people that could make referrals for you. So we already looked at examples of this in the referral campaign, right? So, for example, if you are going to host an open house event, you want to have a text that, let's say, your client Molly says, yes, I want to let all of my friends know about this. You want to have a text prepared for her. It can either be a handout or it could be literally a registration page on your website. But you want to have some kind of text, some kind of copy that your referrers can use and pass on. And something that they can also adapt in certain cases to be able to share their own experiences with you so that they can personalize it and really give great testimony for you. So that's one type of referral tool and resource. Another is every 6 months or once a year, you could create a one-page PDF or an email that goes out to your top referrers on who you work best with, how you help those folks, and again, give specific instructions on how people can refer you. You want to make sure that your clients and your community see your registration pages that go up on your website. Even if it's not relevant for them, it could be relevant for referrals. So I want you to begin to think about what are some of the literal pieces of copy, what are some of the tools and the resources that you can put together, again, not all at once, but as the timing is right, to be able to really educate your clients, your referral partners, your community, all those folks that can give referrals. Now, aside from referral campaign opportunities, I want to just share with you about there are certain tried and true moments that it is literally the best moment to ask someone for a referral. Timing is often everything, you know, as we've all heard before. And there are certain moments that you want to make note of that are just a great moment to ask someone for a referral. So I want to just share with you from my experience when you should be ready to ask for a referral. So number one, anytime a client gives you an unsolicited testimonial, after you get that testimonial and you thank them for that testimonial, it's a great, great moment to let them know how much you appreciate them, how much you appreciate their business, and that you actually have a couple of spots open, for example, in your practice. And do they know anyone who would like to have as powerful an experience as they have had with you, right? That's just a great moment when you get an unsolicited testimonial. Another great moment to ask someone for a referral is when they've had a huge win in working with you, or they just tell you how amazing they think the work is, or they're sharing a big celebration, right? You want to do it in the right energy and the time with that, but it's an excellent time to ask for a referral. Another great moment to ask for a referral is when you've just gotten a referral. So if you have a colleague or a client that has just sent you a referral and that person, that prospect signs up with you and they're just so jazzed to work with you and you know that, you know, that information has gotten back to the original referrer themselves, as you thank them, you can let them know, you know, I still have a couple spots open in this program and you were just so dead on when you referred Molly to me, and it's such a great connection. Do you know anyone else? And then another nice time to ask for a referral is when you complete a project with a client or a customer. So we've looked at ways to educate your community. I want to talk a little bit about how to educate yourself, so that you can create more of a referral environment in your business. And the best way to educate yourself so that you can create a better environment is literally to survey people, to ask your clients, to ask referral partners. And for people that have been making referrals to you, you want to ask them why, you know, like, why have you been referring people to me? I'm curious. It's really important for me to know, what is it about the work with me? What is it about my services? What is it about my offerings that have really motivated you to refer others? You're going to get some great, great information around that. And you're going to get information that's going to help you create, you know, work new things into your offerings. You're also going to get great copy for that, what to work into the next time you ask other people for referrals, or even just your regular marketing itself. You'll get so much valuable information there. The other thing you want to ask people, and I understand that this can be a little harder to ask, but if you can give yourself permission to do it, it can be very valuable. And, of course, you know, proceed, ask only the right people. But sometimes it can be really valuable if you know that you have a client that has just loved working with you and has gotten so much, but they've never made a single referral to you. It could be so valuable to ask them why. And to see what they really have to say, you might be surprised at the answer. You may have just been assuming that they maybe don't find the work valuable, or they don't have any friends, or whatever it is. But the answers that you get might really, really help you learn what to integrate next. So, for example, one client that I once asked about this, because she was a long-term client, and just receiving so much from our work together. I knew she really believed in it. And she just never referred anyone to me in all of those years. And I asked her, and I was so surprised, but it was so helpful. You know, what she said to me was, you know, I kind of want to keep you for myself. Like, you're so valuable to me that I almost don't want to let other people know about you. And I so appreciated her answer. And what was so great about it was that it allowed me to speak to her personally around her resistance, right? And we spoke earlier in the day about how to really handle resistance. So it allowed me to really speak to her about her resistance to referring others to me. But it also alerted me to the fact that maybe some of my other clients felt that way as well. And so it allowed me in the next referral campaign that I did to address that with folks. And it was a very, very powerful thing to do. So doing a survey around why people refer or don't refer to you is something that I highly, highly recommend. It will really help you get educated and give you next step solutions. And the other piece is asking folks how they might want to be thanked for referrals. And I think Wendy brought this up a little earlier. The thank you is not the incentive. Whatever you're going to give folks, that's not the incentive. The incentive is because they want to serve. But if you're not sure the best way to thank folks, you might ask them, like, what would be really valuable? I want to be able to thank you when you give referrals in the future. What would be really valuable for you? Is it more time with me? Is it a kickback? Is it something else? What is it? And that's going to help you just generate more of that referral environment. And then the other piece to the thank yous, and by the way, you always want to send, I mean, I didn't mention this earlier, but I think it goes without saying, anytime you receive a referral, you want to thank the referrer. It is just, it's so important, right? I don't even have to go into the reasons why. You just, even if the person doesn't end up becoming a client, we always on the team make sure to thank whoever sent the referral. I want them to know that I just so appreciate that they're thinking of me, that they're making the referral, and how much I appreciate them and how valuable they are to me, right? So that's number one. But the other thing is, when it comes to thank yous, I want you to take a look. Do you have any referral superstars? So I have a couple of clients and colleagues who are just like, I consider them my referral superstars. Like, they just refer to me, refer folks to me. Anytime they meet a business owner, they're talking about me. I so appreciate them and have received so much business and visibility for them. They're my referral superstars. Are you doing anything special for your referral superstars? If not, think about what might be special for them. And it might just be just a thank you and letting them know that they're, you know, one of your referral superstars and to really thank them. Or it could be something else. But I want you to really just think about the thank you piece there. Okay. Well, we are almost at the 5 p.m. hour. And I'm aware that I have given you all so much information, even though there's still so much more I'd love to share with you about referral generation. I think I'm going to stop here and just save our last 10 minutes for any last questions, any last reflections, any last shares that you may have. So I'm going to, in a moment, just open up for Q&A. Before I do, I hope that everybody stays until the end of the Q&A. But just in case, I just want to remind you to, you know, now that you've got your templates for your campaign, begin to individualize them, send them out, right? Don't let this sit. I want to remind you about the special offer that I made. I'll do another reminder of all these things at the end. But, you know, just stay on for the Q&A. I have a feeling some more really great info is going to come out of it. So let's see here. Last four numbers, 5996.
Yes, Joanna, it's Lorna again.
Hi.
Hi, I just have a quick question. I'm wondering how far out you feel it's good to send the initial invitation email, like to an open house type event.
Yeah, you want to build, it's a great question. You want to build in extra time because it's sort of like a double invitation that needs to happen. So, for example, if you were doing an open house event and you weren't asking people to make referrals, but you were just asking them to come directly, you might do it, you know, like two and a half weeks out. If it's anything 2 hours and shorter, I'd say two and a half weeks out to give folks the time to make their invitations to their friends. I'd add another week onto that. So you're looking at about 3 to 4 weeks out from an event that's, you know, 90 minutes, something like that.
Perfect. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Great question. Okay, I'm going to take someone off mute who's coming in from Skype. 0241. Hello?
Is that me? Hello?
I think so. I hear somebody.
I don't recognize the number. It's Jen.
Kate. Yeah. Hi, Jen. How can I help?
Thank you so much. I'm currently planning an open house, so while I haven't done all these things, I'm going to integrate them and hopefully improve what I've already done. But I have a question on, I teach yoga, so I have courses, and I just started a like 6-week course program, and I'm just wondering how, and if I'm asking people to refer to the new courses, how often can you or should you send out referral invitations, and at what point does it get to be too much, right?
I think it's a really good question. And I can't give you a hard and fast answer for that because there's so many factors, right? It depends on what the referral opportunity is. It depends on who your ideal client is and how often they like to be engaged, you know, by you, you know, that sort of thing. So, you know, all of that being said, that there's lots of different factors. What I'd say is for like a big referral opportunity like this, where it's really like a big moment that you're asking for referrals, I'd say 2 to 3 times a year. Now, that doesn't mean that if you have a bunch of smaller open houses that you can't let people know more than that because you know that they want to come or they want to tell their friends. But I'd say, like, to do it in this formal way, I wouldn't do it more than 2 or 3 times a year.
Okay. So it can be done in a more informal way, more regularly, but the big formal events, 2 or 3 times a year.
Yeah, the big campaign, not more than 3, but if it's just like if you have an ongoing monthly free, you know, whatever, you can, you know, as part of your newsletter, for example, and or if there's just a regular community of people that come or make referrals, you can send more of that group email ongoing, asking people to come and asking them to invite their friends.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Great question. Okay. Liza.
Hi, Joanna.
Hi.
Hi. I have, it was a little unclear, or maybe you covered it. I wasn't able to be on the first part of the call, but recently I've had 2 people reach out who have said that they've referred people to me. Mm-hmm. I think maybe Emmeline touched on it a little bit, where, like, the second person, I sent her an email, and I was like, you know, thank you so much for thinking of me, and I said, you know, it was somebody who has migraine headaches, and I actually have worked with someone for 5 years who suffers from migraine headaches, and I was like, I do have experience with working with, you know, I felt like I gave her the gap piece or whatever,
okay.
And then she emailed me back, and she was like, you know, it was interesting because it's her coworker, so actually her partner in her business, and she, the email back was like, you know, I gave her your information, but she's so overwhelmed with, and it's starting to become this big thing between us. And actually, I'm looking for someone who does Reiki. It was just interesting that, she, you know, like, clearly she's already, like, taken on too much for this person.
Mm-hmm.
And yet here she was also taking on, like, whether or not, she, you know, like, she was ready to call me or not, or, and the other email was not like that. But is there any strategy to then, like, because I didn't get the person's information.
I did mention it earlier.
Okay.
And I'll share it again. It's important, so it's good for everybody to hear again. What you want to do in a situation like that is say thank you so much. And I know it's just so normal for people to get a referral and want to act on it, but especially if they're overwhelmed, they just don't. So if you'd be willing, what, you know, a really great next step would be is to just send an email and CC the both of us and just introduce us over email. And that way you don't have to, you know, worry if she's going to get in touch with me or not, and I can just follow up with her from there.
Hmm. Okay.
Okay.
And if it's somebody who's like another therapist who's referring, with like a patient of hers, of her girlfriend, that she just gave the number to me, would it be a similar kind of thing? It's always like tricky with therapy, but anyway,
yeah,
I get the idea.
If they're willing to just make the connection and bring you into the loop on that or give you the other person's phone number or email address, that's what you want to go for.
Got you. Okay, thanks, Joanna.
Yeah, you're very welcome. Okay, good. We'll take 1 or 2 more questions. Last 4 numbers, 5383.
Hi, it's Chaya.
Hi,
Chaya. Hi. So this is kind of a logistical, technical question, but when you, or do you have recommendations for a system for how to track when you write an email that you're sending to different people as individuals? Like, how are you tracking who you're sending the first follow-up to and who you're sending the second follow-up to, that sort of thing?
Yeah, I'm so glad you're asking this question.
I'm like, how am I going to remember who?
Uh-huh. Yeah, so I am not good on Excel, but if you're good at Excel, you can do an Excel spreadsheet. Or if you're like me, you know, just a non-techie Word document, creating a chart on Microsoft Word or something like that will do. But basically you want to create a chart, and what you want to have on it is in the rows you can add, you know, whoever you get in touch with, just each person gets their own row. And then in the columns you want to write down date of first email, right? And then you'll fill out when you sent out the first email. And then next column, date of second email. Or you can even put before then, you know, follow-up response, and just mark in whoever responded to you, because you don't need to send them a follow-up. You're on a different track with them, right? But then you can have a column of date of second follow-up, and you just track it that way. And then ultimately what their response was. Yeah, such a good question.
Great. Yeah.
Got to get organized with it.
Get lost in that.
Wonderful. Okay, great. Let's see who else. We've got a couple more people with their hands raised. 6973.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, who is this?
Hi, this is Donna, and I am new to all of this.
Welcome.
Thank you. I've actually really enjoyed this. I found it really valuable. So thank you so much for doing it. I have a new business where I'm going to be providing legal services to wellness startups, but more in the realm of legal education and group, like coaching sessions on how to, and then performing some of the individual legal services myself if they want that. I'm also a nutritionist and health coach, so I'm specialized in this to provide an insider's view on what they need to know and not just a traditional legal view on what they need to know.
Yeah.
But I'm at the very beginning. I'm still crafting out what my offerings are going to be and what legal education modules I'm going to do. But because there's a demand for this, I've already gotten asked to do two workshops, and I'm going to be doing two kind of pilot workshops for two small groups towards the end of March. One is on March 20th and one is March 27th. So I'm not ready yet to do a big like open house or a teleclass for referrals because I'm still crafting this. But I'm wondering, how can I use, and I've been thinking through this the whole time you've been speaking, how can I incorporate some of this into two already scheduled content workshops?
Mm-hmm.
But they're a pilot base, and I would like to get referrals out of them.
Yeah.
For either personal legal services or to do other workshops for other groups.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm so glad that you're thinking in this direction, Donna. It's absolutely what you should be doing. And, you know, without getting into the details and the nitty-gritty, you do want to take, like, so much of what we've been talking about today in terms of activating GAP and the vision, and then just pulling out, you know, how I was specifically helping Melissa, who is working as the astrologer, to pull out pieces of her process, right, and to make them pieces of the workshop. That's exactly what you want to be doing for your workshops as well. And then, of course, make sure to make a call to action into your legal services at the end.
Okay.
So I would definitely be culling from the information, go back and listen to some of the training and the questions from today, because there's a lot in it that can really, you know, help you. But, you know, generally you want to pick two or three pieces of your content or ways that you can help people and go and delve into that. Not fully that you're giving them the, you know, full kit and caboodle, but enough that they get a lot of great content and that they're interested in talking more to you from there.
Okay. Yeah, that's the piece I've been struggling with, because they want, like, you know, they want a lot of content.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so give them a lot of content if that's what they're asking for sure. But you can still craft the day to really use the principles that you've learned here today.
Okay.
You can still craft it that way.
Good. Good.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you. And I am interested in doing your coaching program, so I'll be looking at that.
Oh, good, good, good. I can't wait for you to get in touch.
Thanks.
Well, it's already 5:06 here for me, and I don't want to keep any. I don't want to keep you guys longer on the line. But if, for those of you that know me, I'm like always. I'm going to try and answer your questions as I possibly can. So I, for those of you that still have questions, I see that there's. I think there's two more of you. I'm happy to stay on the line. For everyone else, I just want to thank you really, truly from the bottom of my heart for your presence today, for all of the wonderful participation and the questions and your energy. Continue to work on your referral campaigns, on the Disney effect, on educating your community and yourself. Work on your fears. Please send me the results of what you've created today. I want to hear how it goes for you. And I'm just wishing you all a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful day. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And I will stay on the line a couple more minutes. So, Wendy.
Thank you so much, Joanna. So this is on the, I'd love to hear what you, how you met the resistance of the woman who said, I want to keep you to myself. And coupled with that, I have a sense that in my mastermind, which is now in its 3rd year, and some of the people have been in from the beginning, I have a sense they're afraid that if they bring in new people, it'll somehow dilute what they're getting. It won't, but I sense that's a fear.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I wonder if you could address both.
Yeah, yeah. It's such a great question and definitely related. And I just go back to that 3-part process of handling and working with resistance that I shared earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So number one is to just acknowledge it, right? So with this client that shared it with me, I acknowledged that it was, you know, that's how she felt. And I said, thank you so much for sharing this with me. Like, now I understand, of course, you've been wanting to keep me to yourself. For your masterminders, because they haven't actually said it to you, Wendy, but you have a sense,
mm-hmm.
you want to bring it up at a certain point, and, you know, you want to say to them, I have a sense that this is what might be going on for some of you, that you feel like we have just created such a tight, beautiful group and community here that you're almost reluctant to let other people know about it, right?
Yeah.
So number one, you want to just acknowledge and hold the person in their resistance. Like, make it so super okay for them to have that feeling or that thought or whatever it is. And then the next step from there is to normalize it, right? So
mm-hmm.
just to go from there, like, for you to tell your masterminders, and that makes perfect sense. I totally get it. We have created such a cocoon of transformation here. It's so normal that if you're feeling this way, this is how you might feel. But then from there, you want to take it to step 3, which is to hold their hand and give them solutions through it. So from there, you might say to them, and while I totally get it and it's so normal to feel this way, I want to really just share with you from my own experience and from my heart why that actually may not be true and why there is actually so much value into also bringing new people into our cocoon and how we'll still have the same intimate energy, but it's actually going to be up-leveled. And you can give them either your own experience from being in masterminds or, you know, whatever the reasons are. I'm sure you can come up with them for it. Does that answer your question?
What about the woman who felt she didn't want to share you? How did you meet that?
Yeah, so I acknowledged it and let her know it was normal. And then what I did was I really reassured her that no matter who she referred to me, that she wasn't going to get any less of me that she was getting then. That I was first and foremost, because she and I had worked together for so long, that she was my top priority, that I was fully dedicated to her, and that I would continue to be, and no matter who else I work with, it just wasn't going to affect that at all.
Nice, Joanna. Nice. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Great question. I think we've got one more. So, hold on.
Hello.
Hi, Rebecca.
Hey.
Hi.
So, I have a referral that I haven't ever actually spoken to them or communicated with them directly, but parents who knows them mentioned them to me, and then I followed back up with the parent who knows them. And I'm getting ready to do my final follow-up, and I'm wondering if I've already followed up like 3 or 4 times, do you still recommend asking them to email both of you in CC so I can follow up with them directly?
Have you done it yet?
No.
Have you made that request? Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, and you can just put it in terms of like, you know, I know you really wanted to make this referral, and, you know, I'm not attached to outcome, but I'd love to connect with these folks. It sounds like I could really help them. And, you know, in my experience, what I've found is if maybe you just put us directly in touch so that you don't have to be the middle person, they might feel more connected to me, or I can just go ahead and follow up with them. Would you be willing to do that?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Awesome.
And really quickly, for thanking people from schools, I feel like I don't want to send them presents because then it might be this vibe of like, oh, she's like bribing me to send her business or something.
Yeah.
But I feel like I'm not sure that a thank you card or call is enough. And I was wondering if you had any thoughts on that.
So you don't want to actually give them anything, but you want to do more than a card. I don't know what to say to that.
Okay. I was wondering if you had some sort of magical,
brilliant
insight, but it's okay.
Well, but what about some kind of token that's not a gift necessarily, but it's a token? So, for example, this may not be it exactly, but some kind of just like a beautiful rock. You know, it's not like that it's like this gift that they can, you're giving them a present, but it's almost like a token, or maybe the card that you send them is out of the order. Like it's a beautiful card that it's a piece of artwork in and of itself, or maybe it's a special you pick out that just you think they'll love, that reminds you of them, that you insert into the card in some way. Is that generating some ideas for you?
Yeah. It's like there's extra value, but the value is in, like, the personalization or, like, the thoughtfulness instead of, like, a monetary value.
Exactly.
You did have the magic insight.
Good.
Of course you did.
I'm so glad.
Hey.
Wonderful. Well, thank you again, everyone. Some great, great stuff today, and enjoy the rest of your day. Bye.
The moderator has left the conference.